Good morning, everybody. I'm an epidemiologist with the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services, and I work on a variety of topics, and almost none of it is chronic disease, so it's kind of unusual that I'm talking to you all. But I work in environmental health, occupational health, injuries, and substance abuse, so that NAS was a little bit relevant to what I do. But I work in the Division of Environmental Health in our department, and in that role, we've conducted healthy homes programs where we go out and try to reduce asthma triggers in homes, and that's how I got a little bit involved in asthma and Medicaid claims and what I'll talk about today. And what I'm going to have a little different slant than the previous presentations, because I'm going to describe using Medicaid data as a way to evaluate how accurate folks self-report, basically proxy report, because these are parents talking about whether their children had healthcare visits for asthma. So if you don't know what Healthy Homes programs are, we conducted ours in Ingham County, which is where Lansing, the state capital, is in Michigan, and we conducted it from 2008 to 2012. And this targets low-income families where there's a child with asthma. And the whole point is to go, team goes out to identified families and identifies asthma triggers. They educate the caregiver as to how to reduce these triggers, and they show them how to appropriately clean and using the right cleaning solutions and such, so that won't trigger asthma more. And then there's a baseline visit, and then there's a six-month visit. And at baseline, they go in and evaluate the home looking for triggers, and so they'll reduce some triggers themselves. Again, like I said, show the caregiver how to do that. And there's a survey conducted at baseline measuring knowledge by the caregiver of triggers and what they do for cleaning, how they clean their home and stuff. But one of the questions has to do with, has your child gone to the emergency department or hospital for asthma? So that's done at baseline and then at 6 months. And the point, we did this program twice. The first time we did this program, we just looked at effectiveness of our program based on those questions. So what they said at baseline, what they said at 6 months, self-report, or proxy reporting about their child. And the pretty dramatic results of basically a lot of reduction in ED visits and hospitalizations. In the second program, we included Medicaid claims to have a more objective evaluation of the program. So we obtained Medicaid claims, and it was for the overall evaluation of the program to look at whether or not there was less claims, what the change in claims was for visits prior to the program versus after the program. That was the main focus of the study, but what I'm doing here is kind of tangential to that, where I said, well, we've got this Medicaid data, and we have self-report data. Let's do something really cool where we look at how well do the self-reports match up with Medicaid claims. So that's what I was going to describe to you today. So to be included in this analysis, a family had to receive both the baseline and the six-month visit, and they had to have continuous Medicaid claims data for 6 months prior to baseline and 6 months prior to the six-month visit. And I had an individual in a cube a little bit down who was kind of like the Medicaid guru, kind of a black box effect for me. I asked her to do stuff, and she worked her magic in the Medicaid. Apparently, it's a very complicated system, and I would never know what I was doing, but she was able to match these folks when they enrolled in the program and then find them in Medicaid if they were in Medicaid. Not all of them were in Medicaid, though, as it turned out. The question in the survey was literally during the last 6 months from, and the caseworker who went out actually had a calendar and said, from this date until today, did your child have to go to the emergency department for any reason? And then if they said yes, they got the date. And then the question was the visit for asthma? And the same question was asked for hospitalizations. So when we looked at Medicaid claim, we looked at took any claims where there was any diagnosis of asthma, which is ICD-9-CM is 493, So, yes, we also looked at primary diagnosis, but we wanted to look at any diagnosis of asthma. And when we obtained the Medicaid data, we obtained data visit, the type of visit, whether it's emergency department or inpatient, and then that whole string of diagnoses. So I defined over-report was if the caregiver reported more claims to either ED or inpatient than the Medicaid claims indicated. Pretty straightforward. So what did we have? We had 240 people who went into our program, and only 183 of those, so we lost about 25% or so, that actually got through 6 months. So we're down to 183. And then when we looked further, the ones that would make it into this analysis, they had to have the Medicaid claims enrollment. 134 had what they needed for that. So we're down to 134. Just in terms of what these folks look like, the median age was 33, and I had to check on the range because it was one individual who was a caregiver who was 16 years old. Annual income was $12,000, obviously low-income folks, with a range of 0 to 48,000. So the caregivers, as you might expect, most of them were female. Actually, I don't know how this compares to the overall state, but more than a high school education was 60%, so it's not exactly uneducated people. 33% were homeowners, meaning that the 67% were renters, and then almost two-thirds were a single head of household. So if we take all of the what everybody said at baseline and at 6 months, and we combine emergency departments and inpatient visits, the grand total of reports that caregivers gave, they said their children went either in emergency department or inpatient for asthma. The grand total is 183, just as a overall number. Medicaid, when you look at it with a primary diagnosis, 49 instances. That's very drastic. So if you expand it out to Medicaid claims in which asthma was any diagnosis, it was 91, which is still about half of what the folks were reporting. So when I look at the percentage of caregivers who overreported, and you look at it by baseline versus 6 months, which in epidemiology, what we're really interested in is whether there's a bias. And so that's what an important bias is, the pre-post effect. So at baseline, 45% or so were overreporting, and at 6 months, it's dropped to basically 13%. What's interesting there is they're still overreporting at both times, but obviously more at baseline. So if you want to see if that's statistically significant, you might be familiar with McNamara's test. So these are paired data, pre-post, so the same individual. So for example, did the caregiver overreport the number of emergency department visits? So at baseline, yes, and then at 6 months, yes. So 14 individuals reported both times. 71 individuals did not report either time. But what we're really interested in is discordant pairs. So 46 people overreported at baseline but did not overreport at 6 months, and only 3 did the opposite. So the statistical test here is whether that differs from 1. And so when we do that analysis, we find that that difference, which I mentioned earlier, the emergency department visits, is statistically significant, as you might have imagined. When we look at hospitalization, similarly, the inpatient stay, they overreported 9% of the time at baseline, and then 2% at the six-month time, and that was statistically significant. So let's give people the benefit of the doubt and say, okay, it was not just the primary diagnosis. Maybe they were reporting on something and the child had asthma, but it was secondarily in the secondary diagnosis. So what happens there? Emergency department at baseline, it was 41% over-reporting, and at the six-month period, 11%. And similarly, at inpatient stay, again, the same kind of theme, and they're all statistically significant. So this is a fairly simplistic analysis. There's nothing too overwhelming here, but just to hit all the major points. So there's basically over-reporting everywhere you look, okay? It doesn't matter if it's at baseline or 6 months. Doesn't matter if it's emergency department or hospitalizations. And it didn't matter whether or not I just limited it to primary diagnosis or a case where there was any diagnosis of asthma. I already mentioned the third point there, which was ED visits or inpatient stays. Again, you would think that something as dramatic as an inpatient stay, there might be a little bit more correlation with what the Medicaid said. But and then probably most importantly for what we're looking at is that it was higher when people came into the program than when they left. And that was consistent. So why were people over-reporting more at the baseline than at 6 months after the program ended? Well, one thing is that at 6 months, people were comparing to their baseline visits, so they knew exactly what time frame that was being referred to. At the baseline, even though they were told a date and they said, you know, go back in time, oh yeah, I get that. there's more open-ended. And so it's called telescoping bias when at the baseline you're kind of given almost, you know, there's nothing back there and people are kind of searching for, yeah, there was a visit way back, you know, maybe it was 8 months ago, I'll still count it. Obviously, one of the possibilities is that people wanted to get in this program. I mean, it's providing services and actually products are provided, so it makes sense that folks would perhaps exaggerate, you might say, at the beginning of a program, make sure they get into the program. And then at the six-month time period, that they would give results that would please the investigators, which is called social desirability bias. So maybe they'll overlook a visit they should have counted, although they were still potentially over-reporting at that point, too. So the conclusions are that this was, kind of a nice way to get some kind of feel on proxy reporting accuracy, and also, you know, that there's a potential bias. I think that's been pretty well discussed that this might occur, but it's kind of interesting to verify it. Again, it appears from what I can tell that the intervention group, they overreported asthma at both baseline and 6 months, and that it was more evident at baseline than at 6 months, which obviously biases the results. If you were looking just at self-report data, bias results away from the null, you'd find something statistically significant that may actually not be true. So the last point is that if you just do self-report or proxy report data pre-post, I don't know where that came from, you really want to look at that with caution. I know the first time we did this study, we just based our analysis on self-report data. But a control group is always recommended. And these are my two collaborators from Michigan, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
Holly from Utah. We actually just started an in-home program for people with asthma. My question is, did you happen to look at how much they were over-reporting by? Like, was it just one or two visits, or was it pretty high?
So the answer is yes, I did look at that. I don't have it committed to memory right now. I mean, as you can imagine, most of them were off by one, and then as you go higher, you know, the number that reported two was a little, there's fewer people, but there were some people, I mean, I can give you this if you want at some point, I just don't have it committed to memory, but like I said, most of them were off by one, but there were some that are off by five or so, and I've been thinking about trying to explain why this happens. You know, they may be reporting on something else, that like a physician visit, and just throwing it in there, but I mean, it's a good question. If you're interested, I have that data, so. Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
My collaborator from Michigan.
Right. So I know a little bit about this, but didn't know, like, I knew Erica was doing it. Erica was helping out with some data. So I guess, yeah, I was kind of curious the same question, like, whether she actually captured any data on, was she able to get anything, like, say, on urgent care? I can't remember whether she could do that or not, or, like, an off, you know,
okay. Urgent care, I can't remember about, but there's other types of visits, like physician visits, that we couldn't determine whether they were going for like a well care visit,
okay,
or if it was for acute care of
right.
emergent asthma. So we didn't really include those types of events.
Okay, and then I think the other thing
It's all right, because I think there potentially could be time for questions at the end of this whole session. I don't know. Is that right? Okay. Okay.
Thanks. Great presentation.
Thanks.
I'm Jared from Alaska. I love it when people are doing, like, assessing bias. My question is, the assumption here was that the bias was unidirectional, that they were only over-reporting. But could you be missing cases, too, within the Medicaid system as well?
But that's actually something I thought of this morning, because, you know, my brain's always spinning. And so the basically is the Medicaid under-reporting as opposed to them. And that is possible that, and I don't know enough about how the billing all works. So, but I have seen enough medical records looking at them and then seeing what the end code is, thinking how'd they get that. So, yes, somebody could have come in with, the parents could have actually been correct, and it could have been kind of asthma and got coded as maybe some other kind of related thing. That's true. I don't know how to get at that. But, yeah, it's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you for your presentation. My question is, did you assess the eligibility of the kids over the six-month period? Was there anyone that maybe became ineligible for Medicaid and then maybe, you know, they wouldn't have the corresponding claims?
So. Okay, well, so these people were, the 134 were all, so you're basically asking about the ones that kind of fell by the wayside. They didn't have continuous Medicaid.
Or even in that 134, I mean, were they continuously enrolled in Medicaid?
Yeah, they were. Those folks were all continuously enrolled, yeah. And then she also, I was trying to figure out, she said that these people only had Medicaid as insurance, and I tried to figure out how she could determine that. Because if they had some other form, that would explain it also. They got treatment for asthma, but some other type of insurance covered it. That would explain it. But she said this was their only source of insurance.
Right.
Like I said, I don't know quite how she figures that out, but...
Yeah, so there's a lot of different parts to that. As well,
yeah.
As your scope and everything. So she can actually see kind of what kind of coverage people have, whether they have medical... And actually, that made me think, that's what was triggering me. Paid claims. Did she explain whether she assumed that these were all paid claims as well? In other words, if you had a denial or something that was in, you know, getting resubmitted for some reason,
She didn't go into all. She didn't go into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the over-reporting could be claimed, but for whatever reason,
yeah.
Denied.
Right.
Because this is like a little different case than normally I would think of with a surveillance study where you want only paid claims.
But so I will make one last point because I know I don't have any time. But the thing is, if these things are true and they're true all the way through, they still got the before-after bias. Okay, so that, unless you can tell me why the after. No, I know, I'm not, but I'm just saying the bias is probably true.
Yeah.
So. Thanks.
Thank you.